All right, let's kick it up a little bit on our national hour. We are live on Sportsnet, Sportsnet 650 in Vancouver and Sportsnet 960 in Calgary. This hour of Real Kipper and Bourne brought to you by Bet365. Nick Kyprios, Justin Bourne, Sammy McKee. In a few minutes, we'll welcome in Rob Brown, former NHL forward, covers the Edmonton Oilers for Ched, does a terrific job. Will give us the latest on their injury front.
My goodness.
In the meantime, Friday, I became aware. Mm-hmm. Just to give a bit brief background here.
Do you want to welcome Sammy back?
Yeah, welcome back, Sammy. Okay. Where's the Columbus Blue Jacket jersey?
It's behind me.
Okay.
You can kind of see it.
I'm not a jersey guy, never have, but few general managers, starting with Craig Conroy, who was amazing, sent me a Calgary jersey, Calgary Flame jersey.
Yeah.
Because we don't have a budget here.
No.
For jerseys.
No.
So we have to beg on our show.
Which we've taken to enjoy.
And we basically begged Don Waddell.
We did.
And I got to say, it's my favorite jersey is the cannon.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe because some weird way Doug McClain had the cannon, right, idea.
Mm-hmm.
And I really wanted this jersey. And then you went on with J.D. Bunkus.
No, not J.D., with Brent Gunning.
All right, they're all the same. It doesn't matter. And you admitted to them you lost the jersey.
Yeah.
What are we, chop liver?
Buddy.
You can't tell us?
I told a massive audience of people about this, and I left for Hawaii on Monday. I had no chance to come in here and talk about it.
They invented this thing called, text messaging.
Oh, you think I'm going to text you and tell you I lost the jersey, boys? There is no shot. How did you guys not find out about this till Friday?
We don't watch your show.
Okay, but I've never gotten more messages. No one tweeted at you. No one DM'd you about it. It's amazing that you didn't find out till Friday.
Nothing.
That's amazing.
Zero.
It's amazing.
So whose idea was it to play the clip?
Brandeo dropped it in my ear, shout out to Derek, that it happened. And I said, can we get the video? And he said, working on it.
Yeah. So what do you want to know?
Okay, so I did pull a little Sammy, and I pleaded with anybody out there that knows anything about the jersey, TTC, anybody, Subway people, please bring us back the jersey, right?
Yeah.
And we won't press charges. That's how I left it. So tell me, how did you get this jersey back?
Okay, so when I got to Hawaii, I turned my phone off. I turned my phone off and I put it in the bedside drawer and I'm like, that does not exist to me. But hanging over me this entire trip was worrying about this damn jersey. As you guys know, I have an incredibly guilty conscience and I was worried about it the entire time. You know, a couple of Mai Tais improved my feeling on it, but I was still worrying about it. I turned my phone on Friday when I'm about to get on the bus to go back to the airport to leave Paradise.
You left your phone off the whole time you were there?
Didn't turn it on for a second.
Incredible.
Roaming charges, right?
I turned it.
$12.
I turned it. No, Roger would have paid for that. But I turned it on, and no, I'm not lying to you, boys. 5 minutes after I turned my phone on, I get a notification from you three guys.
Yes.
Talking about this situation.
I tweeted you, don't come home.
Like, I was like, oh my God, why did I ever turn this back on? Like, this is going to be the worst flight home, panic, worry. Like, I'm joking about this, boys, but I was incredibly upset
it's
and embarrassed.
It's just a jersey.
It's not, but this has been a trend my whole life. I've lost
don't
things.
Let him off the hook.
It's been, no, like.
Hey, don't let him off the hook.
I was very worried about this. And you guys put that tweet out there, and I was legitimately, oh my God. Like, I felt like I was going to cry.
Good.
By the time, before we had arrived at the Honolulu airport, I had got a DM from Mark from the TTC, DM me before I got to the airport saying, call me. I think we have the jersey.
Wow.
And here, I got to pull it up. Mark texted me this information and the woman, her name, let me pull it up here quickly, is Nympha. Nympha. Yeah, Nympha is her name. And she wanted to make it very clear that she was not the person that drove off when I was banging out the window. She wanted to make it very clear that it wasn't her.
Did the driver flip you the bird and start laughing?
When I tell you, boys, that I sprinted, you
I'm surprised you didn't pull a quad or something.
I have never ran hard.
Right off the bone, eh?
Buddy, it was like,
he's old now.
It was like a bear was chasing me. I was running so fast. I mean, you guys played the story. There's a light up ahead.
Yeah.
It turns green. It drives off. And I've never been more devastated. Do you guys want to see the jersey?
Listen, Derek Brandale, give us some drum roll or something, because I'm hanging this jersey up.
I also love that Don put his own last name on it, so we know where it came from. Never forget. Changing the guard with the Blue Jackets cannon. I'll get out of the way here. I'll go the other way. How about that?
There you go, Kippy.
We'll pretend you just got drafted.
Good drum roll, Derek. Nice work.
And there's a personalized jersey, a personalized letter, handwritten
from Don Waddell
that was in there. Would you like me to read that to you now?
Yes.
Kipper, Justin, and Sam. As promised, here is the outdoor game jersey. To add a special touch, to which I know you guys will make fun of me, I put the name and my NHL number for the one game I played in LA against the Rangers in January of 1981. Enjoy, Don. So it's the
that
most touch.
So cool.
And I
is so cool.
Boys, and I left it on the Dufferin bus.
That is actually so much worse now that you read the note.
The note. Like,
that totally
this,
changed
like,
the stakes for me now.
Like, look at this note. It's the most beautiful handwritten note.
Don. On
Blue Jackets letterhead.
A wonderful touch. I love the cannon, though. We can't get to your name probably till later on in the week. All right?
So
but really appreciate the effort. Sammy?
Yes.
Good recovery.
Thank you. And again.
Good recovery. I'm proud of you, too.
Nifa and Mark at the TTC. I am indebted for you forever. I'm getting Nifa's address. I'm sending her something beautiful.
Some Kona Lisa coffee.
Or whatever she wants. I'm so thankful. There you go. There's me at the subway station
cool.
today. There you go. There you go, boys.
What a score.
Oh, God. I just love a happy ending. Way to go, Sammy.
Thanks, guys. Thanks, everybody. My
All
faith
right.
in humanity. I did a CBC Radio 1 interview about this earlier, too, boys. So.
Come on.
Really?
Yeah, they called me and asked me to do it.
Good on the TTC.
Yeah. Listen, I'll never complain about a delay until the end of the week.
Yeah, I was going to say, okay.
Yes.
Settle down.
Yeah. Until you miss puck drop.
Yeah. Anyways, there you go.
All right, our thanks to the TTC and Sammy and Don Waddell. We got our cannon jersey up.
We actually should start checking out off the league. We need a league list of who we need.
Yeah, well, we'll get there.
All right.
All right, Rob Brown will join us.
Is he there?
Momentarily.
Okay.
Always.
Oh, my goodness.
He's rocking. Ready to roll.
Rob, I apologize that you had to sit through that. We're looking at you now through our Zoom, and we're seeing an unbelievable jersey of you during your NHL All-Star game. Was that, correct me if I'm wrong, Chicago? Where did you play your All-Star game?
No, actually, I was lucky. It was in my hometown. It was in Edmonton.
Oh, and, even better.
And then I think it was Mats Naslund was injured, and he was in the starting lineup. So they put me on the starting lineup, me, Mario, and Cam Neely, and we went against Wayne Gretzky, Jari Kurri, and Luke Robitaille,
oh
I believe it was.
Oh, my God.
Not
in my
bad.
Hometown. I was only minus five in the game, but I blame my line mates.
You weren't paid back then for your plus or minuses there, buddy. How are you? How are things in Edmonton? I assume it's not a great feeling knowing that a great defenseman like Ekholm returned Friday after being out seven games, but only got in, what, two shifts, if I'm not mistaken here. And just the overall feeling of knowing that you're going to play the LA Kings without Ekholm.
Well, I think on the depth chart of players you don't want missing for the playoffs, I think Ekholm would be number three. I think Connor and Leon, obviously, the two big ones. And then I think it's Ekholm. When things are going sideways in your game, Ekholm's the guy you put on the ice to just kind of slow everything down, just get everything going back in the right direction. Ekholm is made for playoff hockey. He's a mountain of a man. He's very good offensively, much better than I think we anticipated here in Edmonton. But when it comes to defensive play, he turned Evan Bouchard's season, if not career, around. Because he was that safety net that Bouchard needed. So this is huge. This is absolutely huge. I do believe the others, they can still win a Stanley Cup. but it just got a whole lot harder without their best all-round defenseman, who they say first round, but no one has any idea if or will he be back at any time in the playoffs.
Yeah, that is a little terrifying. You mentioned the power rankings. He would be number three. So we're assuming numbers one and two are going to be good to go for game one?
Well, they're not going tonight.
Okay.
Connor McDavid looked fantastic the last couple of games. He looked rested. Good. I think that everything, the season didn't go his way. The Four Nations was exhausting. He came back. He just needed a reset. And since he's come back, he's looked like the Connor McDavid that you expect. We haven't seen Leon in a while. I know he's skating, and they keep saying that he will be back for game one. So, yes, I assume he's coming back, and the Oilers, with those two in the lineup, are capable of beating any team. But it's a different team without Ekholm. Your top four now has Kulak in it, and I think Kulak's been fantastic when he's moved up. But now the expectation is he has to be there. Now your third pairing, Emberson and Stetcher, Dineen, Josh Brown. I mean, there's Klingberg. You don't really know because you've never needed to have someone anchor your third pairing because that was always Kulak. So as far as we know, Leon and Connor will be back for game one. Everyone else is up in the air. Kane, Hyman, Frederick. The list goes on. And it's just the Oilers right now, and you guys would probably, well, maybe not you, but Kipper would know, growing up, the Flintstones, they used to have this guy named Schleprock on the Flintstones. He was this guy bad luck happened to. He's this guy, he'd have a big rain cloud over his head at all times. And I think right now the Oilers are the Schleprock of the NHL. Just they've got rain coming down on them. It's raining injuries. So hopefully it'll be by them soon and they can get into the playoffs as healthy as possible.
Yeah, that Schleprock had no luck whatsoever.
Sounds very unlucky.
So if we look at this blue line here, who takes the brunt of the minutes? I mean, I look at Darnell Nurse and I think of the minutes that he's going to have to additionally add, or the weight of the shoulders on his shoulders. Can he handle it? Is another 2 or 3 minutes a game too much for him? Where's the domino effect from 1 to 6 for you?
Well, I think Nurse has had a fantastic rebound year this year. He struggled last year. He did not have a great playoff, but he's been probably the Oilers' most consistent defenseman this year. He's simplified his game. He's playing with some anger again, and he's been very good. So he will see the heavy minutes against the other team's best players. He will get the penalty-killing minutes, last minute of period type of things, and I think he will be fine with that. Jake Walman, who they brought in at the deadline, he's a nice defenseman. He's nothing like Ekholm. He's more offensive. He skates well. He's got some physicality. The odd hiccup defensively he's high event, and Ekholm would be a low event defenseman. So between Walman and Bouchard, those will be the two guys that'll pick up the most ice time. And then they're going to need Evan Bouchard to play like he did in the playoffs last year. It's been a struggle this year at times for Evan Bouchard. He's capable of more, and they're going to need more if Ekholm's not in the lineup.
So the matchup with the Kings, tell us your thought about the Kings. You know, like where do you have them? I mean, they don't stand out as a team that's all that offensively dynamic, but God, they're just pretty steady all around.
They are. I think the LA Kings are better than they were last year.
Yeah.
I think the Oilers aren't quite as good as they were last year. The LA Kings have got fantastic goaltending. They play a very, very good defensive team. The problem that LA will have against Edmonton in NHL playoffs, 5-on-5 goals are at a premium. It's tough to score 5-on-5. There's just no room out there. The refs allow them to play closer to crossing the line. So you need to get your power play has got to be effective. The LA Kings don't have a good power play. And if they can't score on the power play against the Edmonton Oilers, they won't be able to beat the Oilers.
Yeah.
The Oilers' penalty killing has been better as of late. So to me, that is the biggest thing for the LA Kings. If they can't score in their power play, they can't beat the Oilers. And they have injury problems too. Doughty and Edmondson haven't played since the last time these two teams met. They're not dressing tonight. I don't know if the Kings, if those two aren't in the lineup, are good enough to beat the Oilers. But I'll say what I said at the beginning. I think the LA Kings are better than they were last year. And I don't think the Edmonton Oilers, as of yet, have proven that they're better than they were last year. I think they're a little bit, they're just quite not quite as good. They're not as speedy. They're not as physical. They're not as big. They will need a Kane and a Fredericks to come back for this team to be able to compete when you get into the second and the third round against the bigger and more physical and, frankly, better hockey clubs.
So where are you on Kane and Trent Frederick in terms of how close can they come back and contribute right away? Because this series is going to start in a blink of an eye here. And for two guys that have been off for such a long time, and we know Frederick came back and was lost real quick here, but there's really a sense that these guys have not had their reps in to be prepared for puck drop as soon as Sunday.
Well, I mean, the athletes are different today than when I played. There was zero chance I could sit out an entire year and come back and play in the playoffs and have any effectiveness. I'd struggle in practice, let alone playing in a playoff game. So I think it'll be tough for Kane to have an impact when it comes to scoring or making plays. But where he can have an impact, if you play him 9 minutes a night, just tell him to go run, guys. Kane's got an intimidation factor. And last year in the playoffs, he must have run Drew Doughty 15 times. Mm-hmm. And he hits to hurt. He doesn't hit to separate you from the puck. He hits to hurt. So I think he can be effective that way. We only saw Frederick for, I think it was 7 minutes in the game he played. But 6 seconds into the first game, he pasted a King, almost threw him over the boards. He is like old man's strength in a young man's body. Most guys, to knock someone over, you take about 15 strides to hit him. He was taking one stride and throwing guys. But high ankle sprain, you just don't know when it's ready. He came back too soon, hurt it, and now I think he's questionable to start the series. How effective will they be? The Oilers need the physicality of Kane and Frederick. They are a team that uses its speed, but they're not a physical team right now. And playoff hockey is about physicality. It's about taking a hit and throwing a hit. The Oilers need these big players to come back into the lineup. They'll be a better hockey club, but is it too little too late by the time they get back into the lineup and start being able to contribute what they're capable of after sitting out long stretches?
Do you think there's any sort of stakes for the Oilers? Like here in Toronto, it's like, all right, well, if they don't, you know, if they limited in the first round, Marner's going to leave. You know, Tavares may not get re-signed. The goaltending, they're entrusting another year of McDavid and Drysdale's prime to do Skinner. Could there be any repercussions where they go, okay, we got to figure something else out if they aren't to have success this year?
Goaltending. If goaltending is an issue in the playoffs, well, that'll be something they'll have to certainly address in the offseason. They were hoping that Skinner would take a step forward after. I mean, he had a fantastic playoff last year. Had a couple of hiccups, but he took them to Game 7. And, I mean, he played Game 7 in Florida, gave up 2 goals. That is a good night. I mean, that usually gets you a victory. But if he struggles at all in the playoffs this year, I mean, that exactly what you said. You've got the two best players in the world, and you've got average goaltending. I understand with Toronto and the pressure those players are on, but Edmonton has had success in the playoffs. They went to Game 7 last year. If they don't make it further, if they don't get there this year, there could be the crutch of, well, we went in pretty banged up. Yeah. So they do have that built-in excuse. But this is a team led by two guys that have one thing on their mind, winning a Stanley Cup. Like, everybody likes stats. Tonight, Connor McDavid's sitting out. He's at 99 points. Most players would be in the lineup to get his 100th point so that he could have that. And then as soon as he gets it, okay, I'll sit out. He's not playing tonight. So things like that don't matter to these players right now. The only thing that will satisfy them is a Stanley Cup. So if they don't win the Stanley Cup, as much as the fans here and the city will be upset, I think their two superstars will be they'll take it the hardest.
If they do find a way to get past L.A. Without Ekholm, I think it would be a huge boost to their confidence to have success in the playoffs.
Start rolling him.
So we assume that you're in favor of maybe Vegas beating Minnesota right now, and Winnipeg would still be the favorites over St. Louis, but you know, Dallas and Colorado, we're all anticipating. Get your thoughts on the remaining Western Conference here.
In all honesty, I think there are seven teams that could honestly have people sitting around in their hometown saying we have a legitimate chance to win the Western Conference. I think Winnipeg is fantastic. I think both Dallas and Colorado are good. I like Colorado myself over Dallas, but I think both those teams could go on long runs. St. Louis just won 12 straight without their best defenseman, Parayko, in the lineup. And then you got Vegas, who has won a Stanley Cup before. If LA were to get past Edmonton, LA is a team that would scare a lot of people because they don't give up scoring chances. They're just, their bugaboo is the Edmonton Oilers. And obviously the Oilers have been to the Stanley Cup finals. So there are seven teams that have belief they can win a Stanley Cup. To me, I see Colorado Avalanche coming out of their division, and it's going to be Edmonton and Vegas in round two. And if the Oilers are healthy enough, then I do believe they're capable of beating Vegas, but they've got to be fully healthy to beat that team. I think Vegas is deep in just about every area. And they've also got the confidence of already being there. They know what it takes to win a Stanley Cup. So I think that would be a very, very tough one. Vegas is good.
Yeah, Vegas is really good. You know, when I've been looking at the West, the one thing I can't help but marvel at, like, can you imagine Landeskog coming back to play 3 years removed from this injury? He scored a goal in the American League this past weekend. I mean, you had a pretty significant injury, I think, along your career somewhere. I just can't imagine myself trying to come back from my more serious injuries 3 years later and trying to contribute.
Well, to me, it's as big a feel-good story in the National Hockey League as there is.
So,
he could have retired, collected his money, been the last game he was the captain of a Stanley Cup championship team, and then just sailed off and enjoyed the fame of being retiring after winning. He's put 3 years into rehabilitation. I've had injuries where you rehabilitate, 6 weeks, 8 weeks, 12 weeks, and it's horrible.
Yeah.
To do it for 3 years to come back without the knowledge or the promise that you will eventually get there. I hope he plays in the playoffs. I really do. I hope. To me, that's one of those things that it's must-see TV. If he plays a game in the playoffs, I'm watching that game. I'm watching the first time he steps on the ice. I love the fact that he went to the minors and a bunch of his teammates went and watched the game.
Yeah.
I mean, to me, that's cool. So I'm cheering for Landeskog. I want him to eventually reach the summit of playing in a game after sitting out for three straight years. To me, it is an absolute inspiration for him to put that much work in, not knowing if it would ever work out for him, but I hope it does.
I can tell you that the Professional Hockey Writers Association just did their votes for the Bill Masterton Trophy, which is dedication and perseverance in the game of hockey. And if he's not at the top of ballots, I don't know what we're doing here. I gave him my vote for sure.
You think we got to reevaluate? And I know this was a tougher season on, I think, the star players when you included the Four Nations, but too many games, too many guys getting hurt towards the latter part, or is this just the cost of doing business?
Well, it's funny. There's all the players that got hurt in the Four Nations. You know, you talk about Theodore that got hurt. Kachuk got hurt. Both Kachuks actually got hurt. There's a number of players that came out of that. The Boston Bruins, more or less their season ended when McAvoy goes down. You look at all those players, but then you see all these other players getting hurt. I don't know about you, but if I get 10, 12 days off in February and I'm come back from the beach or wherever, and now I'm going back in. It's not like these guys came back and they had an exhibition season. They're back into late season type of hockey games where the intensity is high. And now all of a sudden you start pulling things, pulling a hamstring, pulling a groin. Mm-hmm. So it's not just the guys that played all the games. To me, it's the guys that had 10 days of doing nothing. And then now the expectation is you're coming back in a playoff race. And it's not, and a lot of those teams could not afford to lose a point. Every game was important, trying to either get in the race, stay in the standings. I, as a guy that works for a team, I love the 2 weeks off. I was in Costa Rica. It was unbelievable.
Oh, nice.
So
that's great.
I'm all for the next year's Olympic break. We're already planning that trip. But I do believe for both the players that are playing and as well as the players that have that much of a break between games, I do believe it's hard on their bodies.
Yeah, that's a big step.
Terrific step. Brownie, thanks for joining us, man. Enjoy the wrap up to this week, and then a terrific start to the Stanley Cup playoffs. And we'll touch again base with you soon. Thanks for doing this, pal.
Sounds good, guys.
Okay.
Thanks, Brownie. Appreciate it.
Rob Brown.
Yeah, the Oilers. I'm just going to read Elliot Friedman his tweet This is from Edmonton coach Chris Knobloch, and this is from Elliott's tweet. Ekholm won't play first round, no exact timeline. Oof. Wallman, day-to-day, expect him to play game one. Hyman McDavid, not tonight, playing it extremely safely. Draisaitl, questionable Wednesday, definitely game one. Frederick, not playing last two games, hopeful question mark for game one. Kane, is looking good, up to medical staff to clear him. Stetcher, day-to-day, anticipating for game one. Nugent Hopkins, expected tonight. Josh Brown called up Quinn Hudson to make NHL debut.
Oh, Mike, what was the name of the guy, Kipper, that he referenced? The Flintstones?
Oh, Schlepprock.
Yeah. I mean, that is an incredible list of players.
It's an all-star team.
It's all their good players. It's every good player.
And part of me thinks it could help them. Like, if they could get into this series and get guys going and get healthy, maybe.
Hope Schlepprock's parents weren't watching the show, because it's not. You don't want to hear Schlepprock. A black cloud over your kids.
It sounds like a guy that played in the 70s. 100%. Was he the fourth liner on the couple-inning Flyers?
I remember him.
Matthias Ekholm is irreplaceable.
Mm-hmm. Okay? He nailed it. He's their third most important guy.
Okay. I would almost,
I know what you're saying here.
I would almost pick maybe a forward over a defenseman.
Just because
of...
One of those two forwards?
Yes.
No.
I know Kip's point, though.
No.
His point is like,
I get what you're saying.
No shot.
I know what you're saying.
Yes.
But those guys don't... They're not standing defending in an area that is most important at any point, like, for other than maybe a second. Ekholm, like, defense is so important. Defending is so important in your game. And I don't know who's going to, like, if I agree with him that Nurse has come back and had a strong, strong finish here, but I am scared to death to give him another 2 or 3 minutes of Ekholm time. And a shutdown guy, world-class shutdown guy.
One of the best in the league.
It's devastating.
And was he kind of banged up?
The only word I could use is he's a devastating loss.
No, Ekholm. Oh, Ekholm. Was Ekholm kind of banged up and they played him too soon? Was that a story?
He missed the games and the time that he missed. He came back and re-injured the same thing.
Yeah, so.
That's not good.
Well.
Let's not. Yeah, it could be just unlucky.
What chance?
Yeah. Nurse, Bouchard, Kulak, like Wallman,
sometimes
Emberson.
Your other choice is surgery.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay? So it's like.
He's at that point where it's
do
like.
Do what you can.
Try to play or. That's concerning too, because even if you get guys like that back, they're never going to be at 100%.
That's just, I mean, one of those years for them. Anyways, game time.
You'd never take Draisaitl or McDavid out of your lineup, but that's how important he is, I'm telling you, to their lineup. On the other side, not the one putting the puck in the net, but the one keeping it out.
And now that I'm back making everything about the Leafs, but that trade deadline, there was a lot of rumors that they were going after Ekholm. He ends up going to the Oilers. Leafs end up getting McCabe. Remember there was the around that time, a lot of rumors about that.
Yes,
so
I do.
Oilers fans are happy he ended up there. Anyways, game time presented by Bet365. Visit the app for latest odds and find out why it's ever ordinary at Bet365. Must be 19 plus, Ontario only. Please play responsibly. Those aforementioned Edmonton Oilers are hosting the LA Kings tonight with half their team missing. They are only slight underdogs tonight, plus 125 on home ice. LA Kings minus 150. It's a bit of a big number with a bit of juice on it, but for a team that's not really playing for anything with none of its good players in the lineup, I don't mind the LA Kings at minus 150 there. Boy, we haven't mentioned the Canucks, but the Canucks are minus 330 tonight, hosting the San Jose Sharks later on. And, I mean, some of these lines are going to be funky because these teams are totally out of it and, you know, there's players resting. How many debuts did you say tonight?
There's going to be 7 NHL debuts tonight.
7 NHL debuts, and one of them is the Russian future superstar for the Montreal Canadiens, Ivan Demidov. Give me him to score the first goal of his first game played tonight,
I like it.
At 10-1 against the Chicago Blackhawks.
I take that.
10 there bucks you go. Wins you 100.
He's a special player.
Got a flair for the dramatic. He's nasty. I mean, the Habs fans, though, like, Holy, he made a dangle in practice. Like, I put him on Legends Row. Holy smokes.
I think he's got a chance. I think he's got a chance to be special.
Yeah, I've never in my years covering the game, I can't remember such consensus on a prospect.
So he flew into Toronto. They had there was a ton of people there waiting for him.
This is wild.
Great. Anyways, that was Game Time presented by Bet365.
Sammy, don't be jealous.
I'm not jealous.
Don't be jealous of a Montreal Canadian rookie superstar sensation.
Hasn't played a game yet. That was Game Time presented by Bet365. Visit the app, play the odds, and find out why it's ever ordinary at Bet365. Must be 19 plus. Ontario only. Please play responsibly. There's never been a player that's played well in Russia and come over here and totally flamed out. That's never happened in the history of the league. So,
buddy,
he's been fine.
He's Kaprizov plus.
Sure, for sure.
Plus.
For sure.
Kaprizov's in the Hart Trophy.
Put the puck between his legs in practice. Oh, my God. Put him up there with Jean Beliveau. Give me a break. Oh, my God.
You're the same guy that likes all the Michigans around the net.
No, I don't. I actually have said multiple times I have Michigan fatigue.
Okay, all right.
I know you're excited, but listen, we'll talk about it a little bit more after the break, but, you know, Martin St. Louis said to Press Day, it's important to know to everyone, he's not a savior. Quote.
Don't ruin it,
all right,
Sammy.
Okay.
He's just trying to take some pressure.
Okay, we'll take a quick break.
Off the savior.
We'll talk a little bit more about Landeskog. That's a great story.
Yes.
On the other side, a very, very good hockey player, if not a star in his own right, is forced to retire. We'll tell you who that is when we return to Real Kipper and Bourne.
Dive deep into Toronto sports and the NFL. The J.D. Bunkus Podcast. Subscribe and download the show on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome back in to the Real Kipper and Bourne Show. Nick Kiprios, Justin Bourne, Sammy McKee. For those of you that don't know, breaking news, the Columbus Blue Jacket jersey was returned to us.
Is going to kill me for this.
As our Sammy McKee. For those of you that don't know, just joining the show now, lost our Columbus Blue Jacket jersey on the Toronto Transit.
On the Dufferin bus. 29 line.
Then went on vacation and refused to tell us because he was...
Yes, Kipper is going to kill me for this.
But it was returned.
Did you guys watch this season of White Lotus?
Not this season.
No.
Did you? Oh,
I mean, no. I'm aware. I've seen the scene.
So there's one of the main guys in it is like this big rich guy who's like a big finance guy. And... basically, his world back home is crumbling. Like, he's, like, caught in a Ponzi scheme or whatever. Everything's crumbling. And he turns his phone off, and he, like, puts it in a bag, and it, like, goes to the front, and he's acting all crazy. He's just drinking, doing drugs, and it's this crazy thing. That was me.
Yeah.
Without the drugs.
Yeah, without the drugs. A couple of Mai Tais, but without
probably
the drugs.
Probably could have used
Yeah, I could have used something. Let's tell you.
Could have used something.
Anyways, there you go.
All right, Landeskog. We touched on it a little bit, but Landeskog, of course, the odds... on cartilage replacement in his knee, has not bolded well in terms of resuming his National Hockey League career, but in a stint in the American Hockey League, found himself scoring a goal in his second game, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah. In his
first game, which is amazing.
It's so cool. He put a guy in a headlock. You know, he took a penalty in like his 10th shift. Like he's...
I think they thought about him maybe playing 10 or 11 minutes. I think the other night he played 15.
Okay.
I mean, I'm not sure who the coach of the Colorado Eagles is.
Yeah.
But like once you get into
looking
the game.
Looking down his bench, he's like, Landeskog.
We can probably do
can
that.
Can I use that one again?
Maybe we get him out there for another
shift. Give him a tap.
92, go get him.
Stanley Cup champ?
Yeah.
You're up.
Yeah.
Now, if you're Colorado, and I would assume that, I don't know, how long does a knee like that need to be tested out or... proven to hold up to playing or skating every day?
Right. Does it need to be worked in like a piece of old leather? Or can you just go out and rev it right to the max?
I don't know. I have no idea where their thought process is on legitimately getting him back up with the big club.
I mean, it's terrifying.
3 years. We're talking about 3 years.
His first NHL game was going to come at playoff speed against the Dallas Stars, who, okay, you're going to face up against Rupe Hintz, like the fastest, strongest center in the league.
You got Marchment bearing down on you.
Yeah, you got down the middle right now for Colorado is Brock Nelson, Charlie Coyle, Jack Drury, TJ Tynan. Tynan, mostly an AHL player.
Yeah.
But by the way, very good AHL player. Mm-hmm. So he's kind of a quad A fella. Yeah. So there's a spot there if you want to bump out TJ. And
I think, like, sure, there's worries. And sure, like, it's like the old piece of leather for versus just revving it up. But at this point, I mean, the fact that he's...
The leather's been worked pretty heavily.
I think
we're years into the process.
I think he's, even at this point, like, even to get in for 10 minutes in one game is a massive win.
Oh, we have the goal?
Oh, fantastic.
God.
Look at that.
Old production value these days.
Look at that.
Hit him in the hips? Hit him in the knee? Oh, they're so excited for him, too.
Look at that.
Oh,
they love the guy.
I lost sports tears lately. Rory, Landy.
Those are two. That's an awesome story.
That is as good as it gets.
And even if he plays was it Stamkos in the bubble?
Yeah, played 239. I wrote a whole article breaking down every second of his shift.
Scored a goal.
He did.
Like, even if you play that, it's a huge win.
Yeah.
It's a huge win.
It is. It's
your public speaker career is ready.
A great story. One that isn't sounding so good is Logan Couture. Our Frank Cervelli, who's been on the show contributing to us over the season, is reporting that there will be a press conference. They're going to announce something in terms of him not being able to resume his career, correct?
Correct. Yeah, I think it's one of those things where he's owed 2 years, and I think that's $13 million on the contract, which is quite a bit of money. So, you know, he's retiring. But they can't say he's retiring.
No, not officially.
So he won't get the money. So he's unable to play.
Really good player. It's too bad. Didn't get to go to his own terms. He's a
What'd you say he had? 930 games, 700 and some points.
Yep.
Two playoff runs where he led the postseason in points.
I'm just
Clutchy Clutcherson.
Yeah, he finishes his career, if it is indeed done, 323 goals, 378 assists in 933 games, 701 points in 116 playoff games, which is a lot of playoff games. Sharks had a lot of runs. 48 goals, 53 assists for 101 points in 116.
Wow.
So that's a really good play.
Combined well over 1,000 games in his career.
Yeah.
I mean,
yeah.
Big part of a good team there for years.
36 years of age, you know, in today's world is not spring chicken, but.
Oh, that's bad news.
I'm watching. Boys, Corey Perry, and I'll give him a shout out because he's had one hell of a year in Edmonton, and he's closing in on 40 next month. So these guys who take care of themselves, who manage their on and off ice activities, are able to stretch out some pretty good years.
Yes. So he has 18 goals this year. It's incredible.
For a dozen minutes a game?
And played every game, 79
games? 78 games so far. 79, you're right.
What's the average for minutes?
Oh, I just have his games played. I can look it up for you right now.
But, you know, one thing you'll notice about these guys who have real longevity is that they're elite talents. Jaromír Jágr plays till he's a million. Joe Thornton plays till he's 40. Crosby's still going at whatever he is. Alex Ovechkin's still going. You don't see a lot of guys who top out here and stay there because they work hard.
It's beyond talent.
Just under 12 minutes.
Yeah, it's incredible. Yeah. It's elite level competitiveness. That's what it is. Like Corey Perry to still want to go out there and muck it up.
My point is he's a Hart Trophy winner. He's not a scrub.
But guys have had elite talent and they just fall off because they just don't want to do it anymore.
Yes, definitely. He loves the game.
Corey Perry will still go out there and get his nose dirty and others will say, I'm not willing to do that anymore.
Yeah. When I was trying to rack my brain while I was making my own point, running two systems at once. Cogliano played for a long time as a just hardworking, competitive guy. Giordano was just a hardworking, competitive guy.
Well, he won Norris at one point. No, he was pretty good.
Yeah, not a bum. Yeah. Exactly. No. But it's crazy. These guys who were able to keep it going.
Yeah,
Corey.
I gotta tell you, when I decided to stop playing, like 27, I was thrilled. I was like, I have had enough.
Corey Perry has played 1,390 regular season games and 215 playoff games in his career.
Wow,
that's so much hockey.
Where is he on the all-time list? Because I
games played
240 is the the leader, is it not?
Playoff games, isn't that played?
Messier or Chelios or somebody?
1780, isn't it?
Here, I'm just quickly Googling as we talk here. You guys can talk
like
amongst yourselves.
Corey is up there.
Gordie Howe. No, he had the WHA.
No.
Okay. The most games played in a career for playoffs.
Yes.
Chris Chelios, 266.
Oh, 66.
Nick Lindstrom, 263. Messier, 236. So I'm just quickly scrolling down here. Corey Perry is 13th all time.
Yeah.
With 215. Just ahead of Ray Bourque and tied with Larry Murphy.
Wild.
Yep.
He had 19 goals in 21-22 for the Tampa Bay Lightning.
Mike Keane with 220 career playoff games.
Mike Keane was
Mike Keane had some great runs.
This list, it's like, I truly, you look at this list, and we're not to get off on a tangent here, but about naming dudes, but like.
Everyone loves a good dude name.
But this is just like the all-time sort of, not greats, but just dogs. Like the guys that care the most.
They are the pound.
Listen, it's Chelios, Lindstrom, Messier, Claude Lemieux, Scott Stevens, Carboneau, Larry Robinson, Glenn Anderson, Chris Draper.
You wouldn't have beat those guys. You know,
Trottier.
Telling you.
God, what a list.
It is such a good list.
I know there's regular season, but I think I squeezed in 36 or 38 playoff games in my career. Like
that's pretty good.
Every single one was a wow.
Mm-hmm.
A different feel when you come to the rink during the Stanley Cup playoffs. It's like
34 you played, Kip.
34?
Yeah, you scored once. Who was it on, you know?
Andy Moog.
Nice.
In a conference final.
Oh, nice one.
But it is like feeling like you're going to the Oscars every night.
Well, think about it. You know, quick math, you live about 29,000 days in your life. You know, that's roughly if you're 78, 79, somewhere in there.
That doesn't seem
life.
Like a lot of days.
No?
No. No, I mean, like, you could be right. Yeah, I'm just saying it doesn't seem like a lot of days.
Okay, I'm just saying, you know, if you play in 30 playoff games, you know, 34 playoff games, those days, those are days.
Oh, yeah.
You know? And to be in that many of them, that many kind of wars, there's not many hockey players who get to say that they've experienced anything like that.
There's guys that have played, like...
Jeff Skinner's about to play his first one.
Exactly.
One.
Right? You could play in the league 4 or 5 years, 6 years, play 300 games and...
Never sniff it.
Like, have no idea what it's like to go to the rink and play in an NHL playoff game.
Yeah.
Do you know who the next...
It's special.
Do you know who the next closest active guy is for games played in the playoffs? And it's not who you...
It's not Sid?
It's not Sid.
Active?
You'll never get it.
John Carlson?
Nope. Defenseman?
Letang?
Nope.
Who's been in there a lot during a lot of those runs? It's going to be like...
Think Rangers, Tampa...
Oh, McDonough.
McDonough. Yeah, 191 playoff games he's played in.
Yeah.
Where's out here naming dudes?
Yeah, man, there's nothing better. There's nothing better.
Speaking of playoffs and special playoffs and special teams, original six teams, the first time in NHL history, four American U.S.-based original six teams not in the playoffs.
First time in NHL history, the original six has all four U.S. teams, Boston, Detroit, the Rangers, and Chicago, missing playoffs, which the networks down there must hate.
Oh, even the players, HRR.
Oh, yeah.
Like, because Rangers, like, they're charging.
How about the 22,000 in the United Center there?
Yeah. Gary got what he wanted. Got all these Florida teams being great, and Vegas is sick. And,
I actually, you know, it's good for him.
He got what he wanted.
I was looking at it, and it's Florida, Tampa Bay, Carolina, you know, Edmonton, Winnipeg. They got to just be going like worst case scenario.
100 teams in the league now. The odds keep growing that you're not going to have your most ideal television friendly markets in a Stanley Cup final.
Who's going to turn it around? By the way, Philly's out too. That's got to be the fifth biggest, right? That's their seventh team in the league.
So who is, I mean, Pittsburgh's not in it.
Yeah.
Like they're another big one. Who's the like ideal finals matchup from a ratings standpoint?
LA?
Yeah.
I don't know.
Washington?
I mean, I'm
for sure. Just, from the East, it's Washington, no question. Because
Washington have to be the closest
so here's
market,
a question.
East Coast market.
Could they generate more juice with the Leafs, even though they're a Canadian team, than any of Tampa, Florida, Carolina, New Jersey, Ottawa, Montreal. It's probably the Leafs next for them.
Well,
St. Louis?
God, we're reaching.
Yeah,
now,
I don't know.
Buddy. Minnesota.
I really don't know.
Edmonton, New Jersey.
Vegas. No.
Tri-state.
No,
area.
The Rangers
no.
fans
no.
hate
yeah.
watching
Dallas,
New Jersey.
Colorado.
It's just
probably Colorado, Washington is their dream.
Yep, I think that's probably fair. It's just
McKinnon,
I mean,
McKinnon and Novi in there.
Slim Pickens.
We don't care.
Sportsnet would like, you know, how would Oilers Leafs? How would that sound?
That sounds pretty okay.
Yeah.
Would
be a lot of work for us.
TNT canceled. The would they still, would they still show the games down south? Edmonton, Toronto?
I think they would.
They would just do a live stream of biz.
That's true.
The Calgary Flames are still alive.
We got to mention our Jets.
Oh,
Jets talk.
President's Trophy
Jets
champions.
Talk.
Congratulations,
it's
Winnipeg.
It's 550, and we just mentioned that
Jets
made. I think it's a huge surprise.
114 points, not even close in the end.
They're,
Washington at 109, Dallas at 106.
Their X account got a little fresh with Sportsnet. Do you see that?
No. I did.
Yeah.
Well, I shouldn't say I saw it. I heard about it.
Yeah, they got a little fresh.
Okay, tell me.
They sent out like the, no one picked us thing.
Yeah, I think it was like probably all the picks for the Central Division champions.
Yeah.
And you know what? I mean, A, they've earned that right.
Sure.
To make that, hey, nobody believes
for
in us.
Sure.
Thing. B, I don't think they'd have picked themselves. They're in a division with Dallas and Colorado. And before the season, you might have said some other teams too. Nashville is still considered to have the best offseason. Earn the right to have that chirp, but I don't think they'd have picked themselves in that division this year. And by the way, I still think when you ask all those same experts who's coming out of the Central, I don't know if you're going to like the results.
No.
You might not like
I think it's safe to say Winnipeg and Washington were completely at the same place.
Yes.
Just totally.
Zero playoff respect teams. Coming out of training camp.
Yeah. Actually, Winnipeg, you would have said playoff team for sure. Washington, not so much. But yeah, it's
55
far exceeded expectations.
55 wins in 81 games plus 85 goal differential this year, fellas. Like, they have been a wagon all year.
And give them credit. Connor Hellebuyck is having an all-time season for a goaltender. He'll get Hart Trophy votes.
Yeah.
Guys took steps for them. Dylan Sandberg became a number one. Mm-hmm. Vilardi had a good year. Cole Perfetti became a player. Alex Iafallo played top-line minutes all year. Like, they had guys take real steps for them. And, hey, now they got Luke Shen back there holding it down.
He's made a big difference
there,
too.
He's really helped.
And he's such a good glue guy in that room.
He'll stand up to whoever wants to say anything.
Sammy. Should have got him to Toronto, Sammy.
As a card-holding member of Luke's troops, I am totally agreeing with this.
Friends.
I love Luke Shen, and I would have loved him on the Toronto Maple Leafs. So.
But you'd have preferred Brandon Carlo.
Yeah. I mean, like, outwardly, yes, but like I would have been happy with Luke Shen.
Your soul would have liked Luke Shen.
No question.
Yeah.
But no. So good for the Jets.
All right. Also, Calgary Flames still alive. One of the teams that still has some interesting hockey left to play. Tomorrow, the last games are being played by Minnesota and St. Louis. They both have one game left, and they're playing dogs, Anaheim and Utah. The Flames are 2 points behind the St. Louis Blues with two games left.
Okay.
They are really in this thing.
Vegas will be resting.
Vegas might be resting.
And L.A. will be resting. So
you might get...
Right?
Yeah. So if one... Let's say St. Louis loses, they just need to get 3 points to get in. Maybe even one would cut it if they won a game, if they get 2 points.
See, Utah will like to play spoiler here.
Yeah, Utah's...
So...
Still hustling out there.
Enough interest to watch for sure.
Either way, we're pulling for the Flames big time because this is gonna go down to the wire.
I give them full credit. They've had an unbelievable season. Goaltending's been great. That's a huge reason why they're in this position. Clearly, maybe the number one reason that they're in this position. But it's a good coaching job. Huska's done an awesome job. It's just for them to be in this position. None of us talking about picks at the start of the year.
No, we thought they were bottoming out.
100%.
So. The other side, Columbus, the last team alive. Montreal can end the Columbus Blue Jackets season.
I don't want that to happen.
2 points tonight.
I think this is a good omen for the Columbus Blue Jackets.
Wait, you root against the Canadiens?
Of course! What do you think I am?
I thought you were a company man.
No,
six
on.
Games on tap tonight in the National Hockey League. Keep an eye on the Montreal Canadiens, who can clinch with a win over Chicago. Dallas. Guys, what's going on with Dallas? Not looking good at all.
They'll be fine.
They'll be fine?
They'll be fine.
Okay, I believe you. Enjoy your game tonight. Our thanks to Don Waddell. We've got our jersey. Sammy's got his note. And we're back again tomorrow.